Hey everybody, Stu Smith and Jeff Nichols here with another Tactical Fitness Report, and we are continuing our discussion on human optimization because there are a lot of parameters in human optimization. It's not just working out and sleeping. You know, it is eating and it is recovery. It is, you know, you name it, you know, mindset, you know, all comes into human optimization, you know, when we're talking about building a better human. So today we're going to focus on the gut health, right? And we've done a few things on nutrition, and Jeff and I are not nutritionists, not dietitians. However, you know, you don't have to be to understand what is good for you and what is not good for you. I don't have to tell you that you shouldn't eat Twinkies, right? As your main source of carbohydrate.
Yeah, because we're going to talk about the effects of them, not the biochemistry of it, right? So it's like we know that eating X can improve or, you know, damage Y. So in this case, what we're just going to say, for example, gut health, what does that mean from the physiology and performance side? What we're saying is the wave top thing is, those are, you know, when we're talking about gut health, we're specifically saying eating foods that promote a good bacteria in the stomach, the intestines, and why. And the wave tops are this, like, we want to control inflammation, right? That's a big way. It's like, wait, what? So we'll get into that a little bit, why good gut health controls inflammation from a big view, not like a biochemistry view, right? We're going to talk about what else does gut health do? Is it just inflammation? Is it, like, then we're talking about bioavailability. That means basically then the further that, you know, if you have a good bacteria, the foods that go in that are high in nutrients, a higher percentage of those nutrients are being extracted and used rather than being kind of, when you have all this filler and have all these sort of things going in the body, your body's actually trying to get rid of stuff out of there more than it's trying to digest some of that stuff. So that kind of, it's a little bit of train of thought. It's like, oh, it's not digesting the nutrients wholly because it's actually trying to excrete other enzymes and get rid of nutrients that aren't really, I say nutrients, other things that aren't super nutrient dense.
Right. So let's talk about what are, let's say, the top three, maybe even top five gut health options for us to consider.
Yeah.
You know, every day. This is something that you should do every day.
Yep. Vegetables. Number one, vegetables that are high in fiber.
Right.
The carnivorous vegetables are, well, they start with C, man, blank. So like cauliflower, broccoli, asparagus, Brussels sprouts. That's where I'd throw all the kimchi in there. It's cabbage. Carrots are in there a little bit higher in starch than others. But
that's asparagus?
I do really like asparagus, yeah. So Brussels sprouts is something I've really gotten a taste for.
Ooh, I have not.
I used to not at all. I love beets, especially cold beets with salt and pepper and then like olive oil and like dill on them or something.
Yeah, you know, I hear and, you know, they say, I'm not sure who they are, that your taste buds change every 6 to 7 years. So you should keep trying these things because things that you used to not like, you may like them, and especially if they're good for you.
Yep.
You know, so consider some of these options. Now, what about your fermented foods and your yogurts?
Yeah. That's a very interesting question because that's very recently has been posed like sort of a bit of a conundrum for me. Well, on the fermented food side, whether it's kimchi or sauerkraut or other sort of things like that, I'm very much in the fermented vegetable world. I'm a very big proponent of that, not just because of the veggies and the fiber within those vegetables, but that fermentation, that vinegar and those sort of things are also big contributors to improving gut bacteria.
Right.
And so here's the curveball. I know you'd mentioned like yogurts and such. Well, some of the research I've been reading lately that the enzymes and hormones that are in milks are very contrary to some of the health benefits that's being advertised. So it's kind of like we've talked about like a zero sugar added Greek plain yogurt being very, very good for your gut bacteria. So I think that here's the question. I think it probably is very good for your gut bacteria, but are the hormones equally destructive as some people think they are?
Huh.
That's the one thing is I don't know then. It's like, But historically, yeah, they want to unsweeten Greek yogurt is extremely good for gut health, and you know, because the acidophilus and that the natural bacteria. So that's one of those things I haven't seen. It's like, is it two lessers of one evil kind of thing? I don't know, because I that's the thing, is because dairy is it's not good for to be consuming dairy for fighting inflammation. We do know that. So that's the conundrum, is like drinking a bunch of milk doesn't necessarily have the same bacteria as a yogurt.
Right.
So one, that's, I don't know, but historically that's kind of the fence I'm laying on right now, is still working very much on fermented foods. I've actually backed all of my dairy off to include yogurt, but I was, when I was sick recently, you know, that's one thing, is I use a lot of Greek yogurt when I'm sick, very dense, right? Very slow digesting. It's easy, like, unless you're lactose intolerant.
Yeah.
So that's the other question, but so yeah, fermented foods definitely have those yogurts and stuff are very, I still think are definitely in that, like a positive, like the verdict still out, but I've still seen positivity from consuming that.
Right.
So I'd still give that a thumbs up in my opinion, unless I hear differently, but yeah. Yeah. You know, I guess
I have had really good experiences with, not so much, you know, like if you buy yogurt from the store, chances are it's flavored, it's got a ton of sugar in it, right? Yeah. But if you can buy the plain, non-fat Greek yogurt, nothing in it, then what I do is I put a, like I'm doing a scoop of vanilla protein powder with it and mix that up, and now that horrible tasting non-fat Greek yogurt now tastes like vanilla pudding. Right. Yeah. With a little, a little chalky, but you know, it at least has a flavor to it, and it is very filling. Now, hey, I may be getting off. What's that?
Is it weird that I like the taste of the Greek yogurt? No, it's like,
I mean,
I used to hate it, and that's used to be the same thing. Yeah, it's odd. That bitterness is almost like, I don't know. It's, but I do like, I'll put some powdered peanut butter in on it though.
And yeah, I mean, I don't mind it. You know, it's something,
I know you mean, though.
Something about good food. You know, if I know it's good for me, I can kind of suck up the taste.
For sure.
I'm not really too concerned about taste. Now, if it's really good tasting food, there's a cost to that, right?
You know, it's really good for that. And I don't like it usually by itself. It's just a little bit of agave, and then I stir it in. And that gives me a very similar flavor if I do like a half a scoop of protein, like vanilla or something. Like I get that, and it seems to mix in a little bit better than honey, because honey, as soon as it hits that cold yogurt, it just is solid. The agave mixes in pretty good.
Now, so let's talk about volume, right? Because a lot of people will say they're going to do all this in one day, right? And you know, so I usually wake up with some apple cider vinegar, right? Just a little bit of water, apple cider vinegar. Sometimes I'll put in a little bit of orange juice. Just because I don't know what it is with the citrus, it makes it go down so much nicer. So what's that doing to my gut health?
Yeah, so I do the same sort of stuff. Is I always look, hey, if I'm going to wake up in the morning from a fasted state, let's begin the first thing of introducing appropriate nutrients to facilitate a lot of things, right? Fighting off lethargy, right? We already talked about improving your gut health to digest food better. So it's like, if I can stoke that fire before I eat my breakfast, I do the same thing. I use ginger and turmeric and curcumin and some things with peanut butter in the morning, because it just a couple with the nakey butter. That's what I use. So I hydrate. I prep my stomach for good hydration, good bioavailable, like just like you do with bioavailability, just like you do with apple cider vinegar. I do the same, because then it's like by the time I'm going to introduce nutrients, whether it's a snack before I work out, or it's like I'm going to have my full breakfast before, either way. So you've prepped the fire. Let's say you're the person like you're going to get up in the morning and train. So the first thing you do is you prep your belly, prep your stomach. And like you always do, you eat your banana and your snack before you go train.
Right.
Now your body is ready to use the food that's in his stomach real readily. It's used to it. You know, to use it in the workout, it'll stay healthy and calm. Especially a lot of people get indigestion before they work out.
Right.
If you're taking apple cider vinegar a couple weeks, months out before you're doing a PST, very likely the apple cider vinegar will help you settle the stomach as well before extreme exercise. So Stu, just from trial and error, has created this really good, healthy stomach that's digesting food real well, that's calm during his training. And then I bet when he gets done with his training, he's extremely hungry.
Yes.
Instead of like loss of appetite because he's stressed out.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly how it works. And yeah, you know what? Something that hasn't happened to me in a very long time is bonking in the morning workout.
Yeah, because your body is taking every bit of nutrients it's got instead of going, hey, man, we're not ready to digest this yet. Like, let's just sit here and irritate them.
Yeah, exactly. I never have one of those low blood sugar just crashes. Yeah. Which is very nice. And one thing that I carry around with me just in case that happens is just some juice.
Yeah.
Right. Some Gatorade or some juice. And if I'm starting to feel, you know, dizzy, lightheaded, all that, just get a little bit of sugar in you quickly. Yeah. And, you know, eat an apple, eat an orange, you know, what piece of banana, whatever. And it'll work really quickly for you.
Here's a little hack for you all that don't want the extra calories. But, and this is absolutely can be fundamentally researched in current research, is if you have that juice, because a lot of cyclists do this now, a lot of runners do this, you actually don't want to introduce high fructose or high sugar stuff in your stomach when you're stressed out too early, sometimes or in a race.
Sure, so it does.
Because you see them, right?
Yep.
You see them chug. They're actually put in their mouth, they're swishing and spitting. Mm. So just lining, just Google it. Google carbohydrate lining them out. Like, it is a tremendous amount of interesting research, right? And so if you don't want calories, you don't want this, you don't want that. So what you'll see a lot of times, watch in Kona, they'll have two bottles. They do a mouth swish and spit, and the other one's water.
Yep.
So they're getting the carbohydrates into because they're getting it through their mouth.
Yep.
But they're not getting this big surge that makes them do this on the bike.
Yep.
Right. Bong, bong. Yep. They've got to constantly swish and spit.
You know something?
That's a really good thing to try.
I've done for a very long time is sugar bubble gum.
Yeah.
Like I'll go get double bubble or.
Yeah. Listen to what Stu's saying. Get the old generic full of sugar, not the zero carb, zero. No. Non sucralose.
Not the aspartame sugar. No. Yeah.
Old school Hubba Bubba. Or double bubble. Yes, or bazooka. 100%. Yep. Yeah, 100%.
Yep.
Right? So if you look at those quencher gums, that's all they are.
Yeah.
It's straight glucose with a sour, like with lemon sour to it.
Right, right.
100%. That's all it is, man. Sugar, sugar, sugar. Or you just go to Walmart or Walgreens and you buy in all the diabetic stops, you get a little tub of 5 gram glucose pills. Like, in there, you're like, glucose? It won't make you more thirsty if you're drinking with water. It's not sour. Glucose is almost like a less sweet honey.
Yeah.
And it's
a good point.
Digestible.
Never thought about that. Yeah.
Back in the day when it was thought that an insulin spike was going to transport creatine, and the big old, remember that was like the grape juice? Well, I was like, if we're going for an insulin spike, why wouldn't we just go straight to the insulin spot in Walmart and buy insulin pills? Like straight glucose. So I was just hammering glucose before my workouts when I was a kid. And I thought it was the creatine. It was actually the sugar.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Yeah. So anyway, that's a good way to, like I said, if you're worried about bonking and where people bonk a lot, especially in the PST, you know, it's during that run. So they busted their ass in the swim. They've done max effort push-ups, sit-ups, and pull-ups. Now they got to run this mile and a half. And, you know, if you're running it hard, you're anaerobic for a good chunk of it, right? Yeah. You are pushing it really hard. And by that time, it's probably been about 45 minutes, and your body just will not hold that much glycogen, right, and blood sugar, right? Typically
– not, yeah.
Yeah, so that's where – you know, sipping some kind of sugar drink throughout your test.
Yeah.
It's very helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know we
kind of veered off a bit, but it's one of those things because again, here's the thing is like, we're going to introduce carbohydrates through the mouth like that, because then it actually puts less stress on the stomach to do the work, because the carbs can be introduced through the membrane of the mouth.
Yep.
All right. So think about that. It's like, when you're drinking a carbohydrate drink, yes, swallow it. We want the fluid. The longer you keep it in your mouth within reason, within a couple seconds, you're going to absorb some good carbohydrates, sugar.
Yep. So, good call.
That's going to aid gut health because it's going to, your stomach will be less irritated, right? You're absorbing nutrients through the mouth. That's why. Yep.
That's cool.
Especially like on a long run or bike, right? If you're, because that's what we think is like a lot of people go and train and all of a sudden they're like, man, I didn't have to go to the bathroom at all. Well, your body isn't digesting those nutrients as readily when you're physically active.
Right.
You know, as you get done with training, a lot of times like, oh my God, I got to go to the bathroom right away. Well, your brain is shifted going blood to muscles, he's working out. We're not working out. We got to repair blood to stomach, blood to digestion. All of a sudden you're like, oh, I got to go to the bathroom. It's not a coincidence.
Yeah, that's a very good point because that's exactly what happens when you are stressing your body out. Your body is not worried about digesting.
No, at that time. It'll shift. You know? Because you think that this really is the perfect sort of controlled fight or flight mechanism, which is why Stu and I keep saying, hey, if you're prepping for something and you need to improve or change your diet, you should probably do it in training first to see how you're going to respond to it.
Absolutely.
You don't want to change your eating habits. Like we're talking about this, all of a sudden start eating sauerkraut and Greek yogurt a week before your selection and training events. Like, no. Because not everyone's created equal. So just expect you not to be really tolerant of a lot of these things all of a sudden.
Right. Hey, I got a question for you, Jeff. Sure. I got onto this quinoa kick.
Yeah.
And I am digging it. I am putting quinoa with everything.
Yeah.
Even when I don't have anything to put it with, I'll mix it with salsa or something, you know, and it's very filling. You know, it's lower calorie, a lot of fiber, fine fiber, and it's got a lot of protein in it.
It is very good.
It's almost like eating an egg.
Yeah. It's extremely dense because of its size, right? Yeah. You got to think like peas have a lot of nutrients because they're smaller than by size, like a tomato nutrient density. Now you go smaller to quinoa.
Good.
Rice, the quinoa, or brown rice, wild rice, those sort of things. But again, because the fiber is so high in that sort of, just like in beans, but there's not that starch in beans. But point is because if you see something with extremely high fiber content, the glycemic index is going to be far easier to control.
Right.
It's not control. It's just by nature of the food, it has less spike in insulin.
Right. Exactly. So it has the carbohydrates you need, but the less insulin spike.
You're sustained, right? It's like, because that it's like, it's, you're basically, it's an emulsifier. You basically, it's like, I don't know.
Oh yeah. That's a good way to put it.
Right. Makes good way to put it. But it just thickens, basically kind of thickens it. Okay. Yeah. Slows the digestion. And by doing that, you pull more nutrients out of things with slower digestion.
Right. There you go. That's when we talk about gut health, folks, that's really the key to it.
Yeah.
Right. Adding your fiber.
Slow it down, right? Think of your washing machine. If you were in no hurry at all and you had some dirty clothes, you want to get it in there, let it turn for a while.
Well, how about this? A lot of times people have questions about whey protein and casein protein.
Yeah. So here's the thing is like, they're pretty negligible, honestly. I mean, in the sense of like the grand scheme of like an 8-hour anabolic window or what you would call it. Like if you are appropriately empty stomach post-training, like most people kind of are, and in that blood, like I said, the blood shifts from muscles to stomach and digestion. Yes, by nature of removing some of that lactose and some of those things, whey digests much quicker. Mm. Like a 25-gram thing of whey protein is going to be completely digested probably within an hour or less. Right. More or less. Like it's going to be passed through the stomach and being utilized within that 90 minutes or so. Well, with casein, it's probably, I would venture to say, it's just a bit slower.
Right.
Maybe 20, 30, 40 minutes slower.
Oh, okay. All right. I didn't think
It probably depends on the volume though too, like because most casein is not like you take it and it just kind of coagulates in the stomach. But I still think that doesn't happen so much because we're shaking it up.
True.
It's not going to change forms quite so quickly. I mean, it's going to pull the liquid out of it in the stomach, but I can't imagine it's going to be like a ball of slowly digesting like dumpling in our stomach. I don't see it working like that.
Right. Yeah, I would agree with you. I mean, it seems like most people are taking it before bedtime.
Yeah.
It is their protein choice before bedtime versus the whey protein.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think taking whey protein before bedtime is bad. No. It's just it's a slower digesting protein.
Yeah. And that's like, for me, what I've done too, is so I don't rely totally on whey so much anymore because I eat a lot of nuts. So I'll do that like an hour before I go to bed. I'll eat a fair amount of nuts because the whey protein, or the recovery pro thorn stuff, it's only got 12 grams of protein in it. Although it's extremely high amino acid spectrum, which is why it's casein.
Right. So
it's good. Like I don't, but also I'm not looking quite for the calories through milk protein right now either. And that's why. Right.
Nothing wrong with the calories through those good healthy fats either.
Right. And I wanted a little bit more fat too. That's why I wanted like a nut fat and not so much a dairy fat to see how I felt with my joints.
Yeah. I think you're probably going to see a lot difference, you know, with those omega-3.
Right.
You know, yeah, help
for sure. Like I'm not as bloated.
Exactly. And that's really, once again, that gut health is going to help you with all of those little issues that we have. Yeah. If you see people with really poor diets,
they're super bloated.
They probably have poor gut health, right? Yeah. And they're very bloated to the point of where they actually call it edema.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And if you ever take off your socks and you can still see your socks, you know, on your skin,
right?
That's too much edema. And your body's not,
circulation is poor. Yeah.
Right.
And that's really the thing is, it sounds a little bit bonkers. It does, but understand that all of this stuff, like edemas, and we go more extreme to diabetic, we go extreme to heart disease, man, this stuff all gets cleared up with diet.
Yeah.
Like, let's not even talk exercise right now.
Right.
Like, if you eat the way that you were designed to eat, and that's like, let's say that's 75% of your time eating is the way that we're designed to eat. Well, then you can eat pretty much whatever you want within reason at the 25. That's a lot of meals.
Yeah.
You figure that, like, that's okay. But the problem is people kind of have that flip flop. You know, they think, oh, I had this lean meat, I had this and this, but now my proportions are way out. Right. I'm eating a lot of, you know, refined flours and sugars and stuff.
Well, that's a good question. Let's talk about portion control to gut health. You can eat too much.
For sure.
You know, especially if you're not eating a good healthy diet. Yeah. That's what people tend to do. They just eat until they're way full, stuffed. You know, so what does eating to your stuff do to you until you're just not hungry?
Yeah, so the thing is your body's, again, it really matters what you put in. So if you put a lot of foods that aren't very rich in nutrients, your body isn't selectively pulling apart a lot of like, oh, this is good, this is bad. It's just, it gets turned in, right? In a very small, again, 30,000 foot view, I'm dumbing this down.
Yep.
It doesn't spend a ton of time, especially the stomach, selecting and gets all, because you think it's like, put food in a blender, put good and bad food in a blender, blend it up to a nothingness and go, well, yes, you could, your body can do a much better job of separating that in your hands.
Yeah.
It's still not going to go, yep, this is perfect. This, because the other stuff's irritating the body,
right?
And it's going, hey man, just pass it through. Like, it's all contaminated. Just pass it through. Just grab what you can, right? That's the problem. Is like, we go, well, yeah, but I eat this, my breakfast, and that. And Stu kind of said it. It's really being consistent. Like, that's eating good meals and fasting periodically. It's great, but unless you do it all the time, or at least the majority of your eating time, especially as you get older, that's when. Because we admittedly, for the most part, as athletes, we can get away with it when we're younger.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You cannot get away with it when you're 40.
Oh no, not at all. Yeah,
and that's the beauty of it. Is like, I now know within a day or two, if I'm on a poor eating habit for 2 days, for me, I cannot only see it in like a mirror. But the way that I feel.
Absolutely.
And I never really made, either I didn't pay attention to it quite so much when I was younger, or it didn't affect me as much. Either way, I'm certain I could have done better.
I think you're right. I mean, once you turn 40, as when I noticed it the most too, was when you just can't outwork your diet anymore.
Huh.
Right. And you got it. So your workouts are still very important, but your diet becomes even more important. Right.
Yeah. And I find, but here's the cool thing, at least for me and my inner nerd, is like, this is the first time in my life I've been able to teach myself from the standpoint of dietetics.
Yes.
Because I could eat all these bagels and all these sort of things and just maybe, again, either I wasn't paying attention to it or I got older. And that's like listening to like Rob Wolf and guys about the ancestral diet. When I started applying that ancestral idea, unknowing when it was, it's basically the fighter diet.
Yeah, sure.
It's eat as many veggies as you possibly can with your lean meats, basically. And I'm not saying that that's the little transition, but I'm saying that's one of the things I pulled away from these great diets now.
Absolutely.
The diets that are not only great sustaining diets are the ones that really do. Every diet says eat a lot of vegetables, but if you look at a meal plan, you're going, holy shit,
that's a lot of vegetables.
This is vegetables, right? That's what I'm looking for. Yeah. And ever since I started doing that, not only has my portion control has been better, my body has responded accordingly. And I really, really think that meal plan, a conjunction of, you still want starchy carbs in a selection environment, you do. Mm-hmm. But if we are able to put an emphasis in conjunction with those starchy vegetables, like of good leafy veggies, the spinaches, the broccolis, all those sort of stuff, I think that you will see much less injury in those selection periods because of inflammation control.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
and then talk about like guys getting SIPE and pneumonia and all these sort of things. Now we're talking, the last reason is immune function.
Yep.
Gut health is immune function. It's not absolutely. Like, it's not a kind of a thing that kind of affects your white blood cells and immune function. No. The health of your stomach is 100% correlated to your health of your life, right? If you constantly have colds, or you're constantly sore, right? Yeah, like we're talking about inflammation. If you can't get rid of tendonitis, you can't get rid of shin splints, change your meals. If you just can't stay healthy, you're always got the sniffles. That's even to say your entire household, maybe you got two or three kids and you're constantly exchanging these little viruses. Clean the food up in your house. I'm not trying to be anybody's mom or dad.
Right.
Clean the food up in your house. You're going to see the sniffles even for your kids go away.
Yeah. So let's talk about, when we talk about human optimization, obviously we have that human optimization clinic coming up March 8, 9, 10 down there in Virginia Beach.
Yep.
And so it won't be Jeff and I talking about nutrition. We actually have a guy, Steve Smith. Not Stu Smith, Steve Smith.
No relation.
No relation. But he is the man. And why? Tell a little about Steve Smith.
Hold on.
Yep.
All right, I'm back.
Yeah, he's. You've known Steve Smith for a while.
Yes.
Right. Yep. And so what is Steve Smith's story?
Yeah. So I met Steve a couple of years back. Ironically, the first time I met Steve, he was at fifth or seventh special forces group as their dietitian. Our paths crossed again. He was a dietitian of the Texans a couple of years ago, and now he's basically private and he's worked NBA teams, consults and whatnot. But that's the idea, folks, is he's a registered dietitian that's spent the hours necessary to test and then pass the certified strength conditioning, sort of like, was it sports dietitian dietetics, right? So the CSSD. So he's got that base, that real solid understanding of just, hey, here's the clinical dietetics, but here's how we take clinical dietetics and morph it into the performance side, right? We're not just trying to get you guys to just kind of feel better. We're trying to get you to feel great, beat the heck out of each other and still feel great. And the way to do that is not into proper training, but primarily through good eating habits and how to understand, like, that's what we're bringing him in for, is like, these are the conversations he can really get in the weeds. He can support what he's saying with not only experience, but citing credible literature.
Yes.
And really that's what we're going down to, experience. It's so valuable having somebody like that in that space, because it's very likely he won't get surprised by anyone's particular – we all think we have particular needs. But when it comes to dietetics, unless you have some crazy disease, when it comes to performance output, we're kind of all should be reading from a similar sheet of music depending on our age and our goals.
Yeah, and I guarantee you if he's gets a question, he's heard it before.
For sure.
Right? I don't think there's going to be anything new there. For him. And so anyway, he's a wealth of knowledge, and I learned a lot from him from the last time. And actually, you know, I probably wasn't introducing enough grains into my diet. Cause I was mostly doing fruits and vegetables and lean meats.
Yeah. Right?
And then now I remember asking him a question about carbs, and he said, you gotta be more grains. I was like, really? Right. So, you know, that's when I started mixing in more quinoa.
Yeah.
And adding in that kind of grain in there. So anyway.
Yeah, my favorite go-to like heavy fiber grain is wild rice.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
wild rice. It takes a long time to cook.
Yeah,
I cook it in bone broth.
Oh, do you? Even better. Oh, that's cool.
I cook my quinoa, everything in bone broth now.
Yeah, excellent.
The hell? Again, joint health through gut health, right? Yeah, that's I'm trying to get to that sort of idea of like dotting my I's and crossing my T's as much as possible.
Right. So anyway, if you want to see Jeff, myself, Mitch, Steve Smith, we got a couple other guys. You
know, John Sullivan.
John Steven.
Yeah.
Sports psychologist.
That's kind of what we'll talk about the next one. We'll talk about sort of that resiliency piece overview of, you know, that 30,000 foot view of resiliency and how it affects performance and training. And then talk about John and how he does that.
Sports psychology for some championship teams. You know, he knows how to make winners.
That is a fact. So check out www.masfmindset.com. That's where you register for this. It's coming up quick, March 8th through the 10th here in Virginia Beach.
Yeah, so 1 week away. So
All right,
Jeff, thanks a lot. And until next time.
All right, Stu, appreciate it.
We'll see you.